Chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus, was on the Isle of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. On a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was one like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash across his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet was like bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." A couple of weeks ago, I was watching a television program on the History Channel, and it was on the book of Revelation. And it had learned people with big titles after their names from prestigious universities and seminaries. And the men and women on the program confessed that they did not understand Revelation. Surprise. They didn't understand when they were talking about the past, present, and the future, when that started and left off, and when it was being addressed to that generation at that time, and when it's addressed to generations in the future or in the past. They had no way of knowing what that was about. They also confessed that they did not understand the symbolisms. They didn't know what they represented to us or to even to the people of that time. And as I'm watching that program, I got to thinking, then how in the world are you and I, me especially, going to be able to understand Revelation? And I decided that I would not try to understand Revelation. I would read it. I would receive the blessing that Kirk talked about last week. I would try to understand it, and I would try to apply it in the context that I can. And since God is working with me right now in a framework of knowing who God is, I decided I would look at Revelation and I would read it to find out who does it say God is. Who does God say he is? What does the book say he is? What does the book say about who he is? And then I was talking to a friend about it, and she said, "Well, you know, Tricia, really the book of Revelation is a book of worship." She said, "Look at all of the worship that's in there, that they talk about how God is worshiped in heaven." So I thought, okay, I can read it to know who God is. What does it say about him? And I can read it as worship. And then if I get some of the symbolisms, yay. And if I don't, okay. And if I can't find out what's present, what's in the past, and what's in the future, okay, that's okay with me. So I encourage you, as you begin to read Revelation, that you find a way that the Holy Spirit can work with you as you read it too. And don't get bogged down in the symbolisms if you don't understand them, or the hard parts if you don't understand them. Then just, like the book says, just go on beyond them. See what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you. And then rest in that fact that these learned people on this television program didn't know it either. In front of you, but it did make me start a process of thinking about a timeline. And so I went and I have for you a timeline. Now, I'm not going to turn this into a history lesson, but I thought it was very interesting to look at a timeline of not only Revelation. Boy, that light is bright. Not only a timeline of Revelations, but also let's just look at this sheet of paper that I have in front of, that I've provided for you today. If we think about John and the time period that he lived in, and we think about us and the time period that we live in, and we understand that Revelation is then, it is the past, it is John and what happened in the past, it's perhaps the present, it may be the future. But we know one thing is that John felt like it was for his time then. I believe when the Holy Spirit began to give the revelation to John on the Isle of Patmos, I don't believe John understood most of it. Just like we don't understand when God begins to give us revelation. We have to work with it a while. We have to have the Holy Spirit enlighten us with it. And so I believe he just kind of downloaded what the Holy Spirit and the angels were giving to him. He's just downloading. He's not trying to make it where he understands it or you understand it or I understand it or the future or the past or the present or anything. He's just trying to get all that he needs to get from it for the purpose of writing it down. And then maybe he went back to try to understand what it represented. Maybe he understood some of it. He couldn't have understood probably a lot of it, especially if it's for you and I. On the program, they talked about where they thought we were. Some thought it's done, it's finished, it was over. John was talking for his generation, and that's the final. They thought it might be for the future and where that future would be. They had no idea. Some thought that we were already in the process of revelations. They thought we were up to the seven bowls. So they have no idea either, and I believe the same thing. But here's one thing that, as I begin to think about this, it's really, John uses the word like a lot. He said it's like. Well, this is kind of how this sheet of paper is like this. It's like a movie reel. The history of humanity is running fast. It's, and that's what you see in the top part. This is us. This is humanity, and the history of us is running very fast. And in front of the fast-forward movie reel that's flicking by is God's plan, and it's slowly progressing across the human history. And human history is being impacted. It's a vehicle that's carrying God's will and God's purpose. So John looks and he thinks about what is happening in his lifetime. But if we went all the way back to way back, but I chose to only go back to Moses. Moses, in the time that he was on the planet Earth and living in human history, he was in Egypt, the greatest, most powerful nation in the world, with power and might and resources and just everything that I'm sure Moses thought there can never be a nation as grand and as great as Egypt is. But Egypt today, you and I know, play very little in the history. It's not mighty and powerful. It is beautiful and it holds lots of things, but it is not a major player on the human history today. But in that time period, God used that vehicle, human history, pulling his plan in front of it to form the nation of Israel, to deliver them out of Egypt, to send them into the desert, to bring the law, to set up the tabernacles. His plan and his purpose worked right along with what was happening back here in the fast-forward realm of what's going on in humanity. Then if you went and you said, okay, the next great one was the Assyrians and the Babylonians. If you were Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego living in Babylon, you would have thought there is no nation that can ever outdo this. I mean, the grandeur of it, one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, is part of our history. And they must have thought this is the greatest empire that will ever be. They don't even exist anymore. But God's will and God's purpose in that was accomplished. There was Solomon started building the temple. Israel was split into two kingdoms. Israel was taken into captivity. And they learned their lesson to never follow idolatrous practices anymore. God's will and God's purpose was there. And the people on the stage of God's plan, you and I still read about them today and treasure Daniel's stories. And we treasure Jeremiah. We treasure those, God's purpose and God's plan. But yet the people in the history that were living there, they thought this was the greatest. The next one was the Greece Empire. That's when the Bible was translated, or the Jewish Bible was translated into Greek so that the major population could begin to understand about God. Here is the Greek Empire, the greatest. Then we come up to the Persians. This is Esther. The stories, the Bible stories in there. If you lived then, you would have thought this is the greatest nation in the world, and there can't be any. It doesn't exist anymore. Then we move to the Roman Empire with John. That's Jesus. That's the crucifixion. That's the disciples. That's walking on the earth. That's the resurrection. That's the assigning of the disciples in the early church being formed and the Christians being persecuted and spread throughout Europe because of that persecution. Here is Rome. John would have thought this is finally we have the greatest nation. Its empire goes everywhere. But today we know Rome and Greece have hardly any power. But they were God's vehicle. You and I today are God's vehicle. Now, where America is in the story of Revelation is still up for debate. It may not be there at all. But anyway, the idea is that the history of humanity is moving fast, and God's plan is moving across that. And you and I, just like John, just like Paul, just like are part of God's plan and God's purpose. And we'll see that in a moment. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, at just the right moment, God sent. It's talking about Jesus. But at just the right moment, God sent His will and His purpose to be accomplished in each one of these phases of history. He's still working exactly the same way. Because in Proverbs 19:21 it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is God's purposes that prevail. In Proverbs 21:1 reads, the king's heart is in the hand of God. He directs it like a watercourse wherever he pleases. God's will and God's purpose is in front of the history of humanity. And it is being accomplished. But it's being accomplished through the people that live in the time period that God needs to intervene in. At just the right time, God sent. If we look at what we're reading today, we see just a little bit of what it tells us about who God is. God said, I am. The first time God says that He is, He says it to Moses. And He says it in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, where He says, you tell the Israelites, Moses is saying, what do I say? Who am I to say? You sending me back to the children of Israel. They don't know who I am. Well, who do I say sent me? And God says, you tell them, I am. And in Revelation, the end, that's way up here in the beginning. At the end, He's saying, tell them. I'm telling you, I am. John, tell them. I am the Alpha and Omega. God called Himself, I am who I am in Exodus. And He's still saying, I am. God says, I am the one who is, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am the living one. I was dead and behold, I am alive forever and ever. I hold the keys to death and Hades. God's telling us in Revelation who He is. You and I take what the Bible says He is and we apply it to our lives, and we can stand on that. We can say, God is. I am what you need. I am where you are. I am available. I am more than enough. I am sufficient. I am your provider. I am at work, and my plans and my purposes are being accomplished, not only in the history of humanity, but in mine and your life. I am is what He's saying. He still is. I am the beginning and the end. I was there before, and I will be there when it's gone. I am. What in your life today do you need? Put in front of that, God says, I am that you need. Do you need comfort? God is. When we look at John, we can look and see in the books that John wrote, in the gospel that John wrote, in the three letters in Revelation, we can look at John, and John knew who Jesus was. In the book, in the Gospels, John knew Jesus as the Son of Man. He knew Jesus when he was hungry, and he cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit on it. John knew Jesus when he was tired at the well in Samaria, and he sent his disciples to get food. John knew Jesus when he wept at Lazarus' tomb. John knew Jesus when he was angry at the merchants in the temple. God knew Jesus when he was asleep in the boat. He knew him as a man. He knew the characteristics of that are the same things that he had. But John also knew Jesus as the Son of God. He knew him when he healed the sick. He knew him when he raised the dead. John knew Jesus when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. John knew Jesus when he hung on a cross. John knew Jesus when he was resurrected. And John is telling us in the Gospels the witness and the testimony of this Jesus that he knew, so that 2,000 years later, you and I can also be a witness and a testimony to who Jesus is to the world in the time period of humanity that you and I live in. John is writing as a witness and a testimony. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. And I want to start at verse 1 and go through verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this I proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We have proclaimed it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you, what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Write this to make your joy complete. Here's the text of this lesson. And it is a witness and a testimony. Just as we look at the timeline and we drop down and we see the biblical purposes inside of those timelines, those are witnesses and testimonies to the might and the power and the love and the compassion and the mercy and the judgment of God. Just like you and I are witnesses and testimonies to the love and the mercy and the compassion and the love of God in our time. I want you to... John was asked by the angel to write down what you see. He didn't say understand it. He didn't say figure it out. When you've got it, then write it down. He just says write it down. Today, I want you to... If you had an angel come to you and say, write down one incident in your life, one event where you absolutely, positively, nobody can shake you, know that you know that you know God intervened in your life. One. How many of you could do it? One time God intervened in your life. Maybe at your salvation. That would be a big one. I bet you if the Holy Spirit came and said, I want you to write down three incidences in your life where you positively, absolutely know that God intervened, Jesus intervened, the power of the Holy Spirit intervened in your life, you could probably do three. You might could do many, many, many. You should be able to do many, many, many. But I'm talking about significance that you can absolutely positively say, this I know. God intervened in my life. Just like John in this book of 1 John says, I'm telling you things not that I heard somebody else say, not that I heard somebody saw that somebody saw. I'm telling you things that I saw. I'm telling you what I heard personally. I'm telling you what I saw personally. I'm telling you what I touched personally. I'm telling you what happened in my life. He is a witness for you and me. Now, today, God is asking us, I believe, to be witnesses and testimonies to the very things that you just thought about when I said, tell me a time. Think about a time. Write down a time where you can positively, absolutely say, I am a witness to the power of God. I have a testimony how God intervened in a situation that had He not intervened in, I would not be where I am today. I would not be the person I am today. I would not be here in this environment, and not here at Woodman Valley in this, but here in my life, I would not be in the place that I'm at had God not intervened in that situation. That is as strong a testimony as this revelation is to you and me, to the people who need that testimony. Jesus spent time with His disciples, walking with them and talking with them. He taught them. He not only taught them, but He explained what He taught when they didn't understand it, because He walked with them. He not only taught them and explained to them what they didn't understand, He showed them what He wanted, what it was about, His life, His coming, His time on the human history roll of film. Not only did He teach them, not only did He explain to them, not only did He show them, but then He empowered them to go and do it. He trusted them with this, the Word of God, the very testimony, the life of God to people 2,000 years later and longer. He invested in them as witnesses and testimonies. In this room today, 120 people, let's say, all the testimonies and all the witnesses to the faithfulness of God in this room today are just as valuable for people knowing who God is as the disciples to us. Just like you and I need the Word of God to live our lives at its best, to have principles that guide us in what life is, there are people that God has put into your life and into my life that need exactly what God's given you. Because God is too efficient to waste anything. So if He rescued you, if He invested in you and He invested in me, if he went to the trouble to work it all out for good, or work it all out that you are a better person because of it, if he went to all of that to rescue you, to lift you up, to lift me up, to teach me, to show me, to empower me, then he expects us, just like he expected the disciples and Paul and all the people that contributed, to contribute. He expects 120 ladies in this room to contribute to the people that are in our sphere of humanity, in our timeline. We are testimonies and witnesses. He entrusted his disciples with big assignments. Write it down. Tell what you saw. Testify to the witnesses that you yourself saw, what you heard, what the Holy Spirit's revealing to you. And I believe he's asking us today to do exactly the same thing to the people he puts in our lives. But just like these people, just like these, we don't do it either a lot of times out of the same reason, especially in America. If God's invested in you, he needs your witness and your testimony to people who are experiencing the same thing that he delivered you from. How many of you know somebody whose life right now is in the pit? And God rescued you from a pit. And the righteous right arm of God reached down and pulled you out and dusted you off and put you in a higher place. And now your life is different. But God's got somebody in your life right now whose life is in a pit. And you're sitting there with your witness and your testimony, but you won't say anything because it's too personal. But God is asking us today, 120 women, to walk alongside of other people that he puts into our lives and be a witness and a testimony. Not to things that we heard about, not to something we read, not to something that happened to so-and-so and big shot so-and-so and over here in this movement and over here in this place. No, he's asking us to talk about the things that he's given us. He's asking us to talk about the things that I saw. I saw God deliver me. I heard his voice saying, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Walk in me. I heard him say, I value you, and I love you, and you're the apple of my eye, and I delight in you. I heard him say that in his word. It's not something that somebody else told me about. It's something I heard. I touched God, and God touched me. And where I was, I never believed I could be lifted out of that. But today, I am delivered. And God's got somebody in your life. If he's invested that in you, he's got you as a witness and a testimony in your time, in our time period. Maybe there's somebody who's got a prodigal and thinks there is no way that God, there's no way that this will ever turn around. There's no way that this will ever change. I've done more. I've done all. I've done even more than I thought I could do. I've done it. And there's no way. And you sit with a prodigal that God redeemed and brought back. And you're sitting there afraid to say anything because, they may not understand. No, you're a witness and a testimony in your time, in our history. Maybe there's somebody in your, that you know that has unforgiveness and they're turning into an angry, bitter person. And nobody wants to be around them and they're getting isolated because they're just so negative all the time. And that was you. And God, somehow, I don't know how, I don't even know when it happened, but I know that I've forgiven. Because that person or that situation was mentioned and it didn't send me into orbit. It didn't stab me in the heart. But I cried out to God and I said, please God, I know this pleases you. I know the principles that are in the Bible, and I know I'm supposed to forgive, but you're asking too much. This I cannot do. But out of my love for you and out of the witness of the Bible and what I'm supposed to do, I said, help me forgive them and then make it real. Well, the next time the person's name was mentioned or the incident came up, I realized I wasn't healed. I hadn't forgiven. I went back to God and this is my own. I went back to God and I said, God, I know in your Bible it says that I need to forgive to be forgiven, and I sure need to be forgiven. And I've prayed, please help me forgive them, and it hasn't taken. So I'm going to, out of an act of my own will, I'm going to choose to forgive them. Hold no account. Now make that so. 3 years later, and lots of that prayer and many more like it, that incident happened to be brought up. That was just a couple of months ago. And it didn't sting. It wasn't a stab. It didn't send me into orbit. I didn't go into my room and close the drapes and pull the blinds and hide for a day. I actually have forgiven them and hold no account. Not because of Tricia Langley, but because someplace, somewhere along the timeline, God made it real. I'm testifying as a witness to God's power to heal and forgive. I didn't want to be a bitter person. I didn't want to be a person where people hid from me, and I always was spewing out poison around this situation. So God made me a witness and a testimony. He entrusted me with His word. Not something that I heard somebody else say they forgave. But now I can tell you that God, if you're holding a grudge, a hurt, a wound, and unforgiveness, God has the power to do that. We just have to ask Him for that and walk the process out. God calls us, me and you, as He did Himself with Jesus, to walk alongside of people. A few months ago, I was telling Kirky about a program that I saw, and it was called Pray the Devil Back to Hell. It was about women in Africa. And these women decided that their life and their children were more, the life of their children were being stolen. And so they united together to walk together. And that's all they said is, let's just walk together. So if you're going before a magistrate, I'll be there with you. I'll walk with you. If you're going before a judge or going before, I'll walk with you, whatever that is. If your child is in prison, if your child's been captured, I'll walk with you. And when they walked with, if you needed somebody to walk with you, you put on a white t-shirt and you walked. And I would see you walking. And I would put on a white t-shirt and I would walk with you. And pretty soon, somebody else saw and they would put on their t-shirt and they would walk with you. And they would walk and they would walk until finally, long story, but finally they were able to change the whole environment of their village because they decided not to, they couldn't solve any of the problems. The women have no power, no authority, no money, no land, no possessions, no nothing. All they had was t-shirts. And they walked with each other. So I'm challenging us today, 120 women, to find somebody that needs to be walked with. You can't solve their problems, but I can walk with you. Find somebody who needs to be taught. Find somebody maybe who is learning, but just needs clarification. Find somebody that can watch your life and say, okay, watch what I do and follow me. If you're bold like Paul, he says, watch me, imitate me. Then empower them and trust them, but walk with them. Because of the testimony and the witness that God has taken the time to deposit into your life and my life, I ask us, if everyone in this room just took five people that they just committed to walk with, that's over 625 people that we would have an impact on just out of this little group that we would walk with. And I would learn along with them. You would learn along with them. They would learn along with us as we walk together. So just like John says in his first letter, when he says, I'm just telling you what I saw. I'm just telling you what I heard. I'm just telling you what I touched. That's what I commission us in this room to do. Just walk, tell what you've heard, what God's done in your life as a witness and a testimony. Because you never know what God's plan is, God's purpose is in the history that's running along in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for your transformation in our lives. We thank you for the renewing of our mind. We thank you for the refreshing of our soul. And we ask you, Lord, as each lady now begins to go into their small groups or into their tables and then begin to discuss the lesson, that you would guide their words and guide their thoughts in the powerful name of Jesus. And we ask you to bring to our remembrances things that we've heard, things that we have seen, and things that we have touched that are godly. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen.